Mum, can you lend me 20 quid? Part 7.
Nick kept to his word. He agreed to try rehab. On the morning of the 8th of August 2002, Simon, Nick and I caught a train to Paddington to take Nick to the Florence Nightingale Hospital. As I looked at Nick and Simon, side by side, standing on the station platform, I was shocked to see the difference between the pair of them. Simon, still heroin-free, had put on plenty of weight as his appetite had returned. He looked fit and relaxed. By contrast, Nick looked dreadful. No one would have taken them for twins now, let alone identical twins. When he was weighed later that day, it turned out that Nick was only half of Simon's body weight. I drew out everything I had left in the bank to pay for the rehab. £11,560. My last penny. I was broke. Also, in the wake of Nick and Joanna's addiction, there were all the debts. Tony approached Lawrence, the twins' father, to try and sort it out.
Here's the list.
£6,000.
And I thought we could pay half each. Well, he's your son.
Not anymore, he isn't. He doesn't belong to me anymore. Or to you, or his mother. He belongs to heroin and crack and all the other rubbish he shoves in his veins.
Well, can you pay any of it?
What's the point? It'll only happen again. And again. Tony, can't you see it? You're wasting your time. And your money. Okay, you're right. I'm his dad. So I'll tell you what I honestly think. No. What I know is going to happen to Nick. He's going to die. Nick is going to die.
We did everything we could to help Nick with his recovery. We even took him back to the Florence Nightingale Hospital so that he could attend the aftercare programme. I paid another deposit on yet another flat for him. Simon was doing really well back with his old employer and looking great. Then one day, Nick rang Simon at work.
Simon, I want you to come round.
What? Now? I can't. I'm at work. Nick. What's the matter? Nick.
I've got some gear. And some pins. I'll do it if you'll do it.
Stop it, you fucking idiot. Don't you know what you're doing to yourself? And what about me? What you're doing to me? I've not used for months. I am trying like hell to sort my life out, and you know that, you selfish bastard. If you want to wreck your life, that's up to you, but don't try and drag me down with you. You can get lost. Do you hear me? Get lost. I'm not coming over there.
But of course, he did.
I went over to Nick's with every intention of stopping him. I was so angry. I tried to reason with him, but the harder I tried, the more my attention turned toward the needles. He had them ready, one each. I remember sitting there so upset that I was doing this again. But I put the stuff into my arm, and so did Nick.
Thank you.
all the help and support Mum had given us, the detoxes she had put us through, and inside 30 seconds, it was ruined. The guilt, as I was sticking the needle into my arm, knowing I had just wrecked my life again, wrecked my mum's life again. The guilt was awful.
I suppose in truth this day had been coming for a long time. The day that the dream was gone. The day that hope died. Never mind my twins reaching their rock bottom. Something had happened which made me realise that I had reached mine. It was one afternoon during the February half term of 2003. I agreed to give Nick a lift to meet his probation officer. I could see from the minute Nick got into the passenger seat that he was in a terrible state.
Hello, Mum.
I thought he was about to take out his cigarette lighter. With one eye on the road and one eye on Nick's hand, I caught sight of a needle. "What do you think you're doing?" I said. "What do you think you're... with that thing in my car? How dare you bring a needle into my car?" He completely ignored me and started to inject. My eyes darted between the traffic and the veins in Nick's arms. Repulsion, terror, disgust. I felt them all. As I sat in the car, I recalled Tony's ultimatum. It was him or the boys. The decision was made.
To be continued.